Welcome back, everybody, to Cast to the Past, the time-traveling podcast where we take a look at old video games in a new light. My name is Josh, and I'm joined with...
his greatest rival, the one and only, and I'm Tom.
Oh, no, not, and I'm Tom. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are here today to talk about Pokemon. We are exploring the world of Pokemon again. We haven't come back to this world in a really long time, Tom. I think since our, third episode?
Very likely our third episode, maybe fourth. But yeah, we've somehow managed to stay away from Pokemon. I'm proud of us for showing such restraint. And being that the remakes, or let's have an early little topic of discussion. Based off everything I've seen, the games that we're going to get next week, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, I would not even call them remakes. These look like the first Pokemon games that are actually remasters. Would you disagree?
No. Because, like, let's go Eevee and let's go Pikachu.
Those were remakes.
What about Leaf Green and Fire Red?
Remakes again, because they extended the amount of content with post game and also updated the mechanics. Like, everything I've seen about Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, it's aesthetically it's an upgrade, but very true to what that one was. There's none of the new features introduced in any of like the most recent generations. Like, it just seems like a polished version of the Diamond and Pearl that we know. It seems very similar to the Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition that we're getting, you know? I have to play it, admittedly. But these are full-blown remakes that we're talking about today, Josh. And what are they?
We are talking about Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Yes, we are.
Arguably, the best Pokemon games ever made.
That is the reputation they have. And it's a statement that you and I have thrown around from time to time. But we're here to examine if that still holds up. Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver were released on September 12th, 2009 in Japan and March 14th, 2010 in North America on the Nintendo DS. These were developed by Game Freak and published by Nintendo and the Pokemon Company. These were released, you know, as most Pokemon games are, in paired versions. Heart Gold, which I played, and Josh, what did you play?
I played Soul Silver.
Mm-hmm. And they came bundled with this nifty little thing called the Pokewalker, a step counter slash Tamagotchi that allowed you to interact with both the Pokemon you caught in the games, and it also let you catch Pokemon within the device and bring them into the games. I thought that, back in the day, I thought that was an incredible feature. And what about you, Josh? What was your opinion on the Pokewalker back when this came out?
Pokewalker was pretty cool. It was different. It was unique. It wasn't anything that I really like used constantly. Like, I used it right when it came out because it was something different, right? And that was it. I put a Pokemon in there. I probably forgot about it, and that was it. But if you think about it, this was like the first form of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, you could call it a demo version of that, absolutely. But for me, I used it to catch Pokemon that weren't initially available in the game. You could catch Eevees in the wild, like, very early through this thing. Also, a couple baby Pokemon. I remember back in the day, I caught a Magby, which was introduced as, like, the baby version of Magmar. And I caught it on my Pokewalker, brought it into the game, and then raised that up, and that was my fire type. But for this playthrough, did not get to use the Pokewalker because mine is dead.
Yeah, I get the watch battery for that to rejuvenate it. But now, overall, though, the Pokewalker was a really cool and unique idea. And it's just one more thing for Nintendo to constantly keep trying to get people to be active with video games. You know, they've been doing that since all the way back in the NES, right? And just stop. Let's stop trying to make exercise and video games happen. Do you know how many Wii Fit boards I see at Goodwills when I go to them?
Look, Japan just wants to save America. But, you know, we'll, like, as we stuff our face with hamburgers, we'll show you.
Yeah, listen, okay, hold on. You got your Wii Fit boards and you got all of your active things. We got mozzarella sticks, okay?
You can't beat it. There, boom, done. No.
If you've played a Pokemon game before, you've played them all, right? The rock, paper, scissors mentality and strategy behind Pokemon is still the same that it is here. They've learned some things over the course of time with Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver. What works, what doesn't work, you know, taking the best of the previous generation's mechanics and stuff like that and incorporating them into this game, which I thought was great. The fact that you're able to walk around with any Pokemon in the game trailing behind you, I thought that was a great little twist and a callback to Pokemon Yellow. But one of my favorite things about the Gold and Silver was the incorporation of night and day cycles in the game.
Oh yeah, and the full-blown 7-day week, absolutely.
Not only were certain events in the game triggered between night and day, but certain Pokemon were triggered during night and day, and certain things would happen in the world based on the time of or the day it was in general. And I remember back when I played this on the Game Boy Color, that blew my mind because I was like, wait, it knows what time it is? Like, I remember I got it and it was like at nighttime and the game was dark. And I'm like, whoa, this is weird. And all I kept finding was Hoot Hoots. And like, that's amazing. And then when I woke up the next morning, it was daylight in the game. And I was like, oh my God, it's like I'm really in Pokemon right now. But
yeah.
So what about you?
So Gold and Silver specifically. Yeah. I remember, you know, when Gold and Silver came out, a lot of people, I remember a lot of people were like, that's when everyone was like, well, Pokemon's a fad and it's about to be over with. Gold and Silver, who cares? Like, you know, I was like one of the few people in my class, I remember, who was like legit excited for Gold and Silver. I was like, there's more Pokemon, there's more worlds, blah, blah, blah. And these were huge hits. I think these games, followed up with the huge success of Ruby and Sapphire, really put to shame the naysayers that Pokemon was a fad and was going to die. And it stuck around pretty consistently. And I think these games, Gold and Silver, not these remakes that we're going to talk about, but Gold and Silver, have such a fond place in the heart of many gamers and many Pokemon fans because they're one of just like the rare sequels that take everything about what made the first one great and they didn't mess it up, but they improved on it really, really well. You know, like it's a fine line where you get sequels that are just more of the same, or they went in the wrong direction and they bungled it. And in this is they stuck to what worked and look what they gave us. You mentioned the day and night cycle. There's new types of Pokemon. This introduced dark, this introduced steel. We have new Pokemon themselves, 100 new Pokemon added to the Pokedex. In terms of other new gameplay mechanics, berries introduced as a whole new like buffer or nerf system within combat, new stat types and stat changes that at the time, like here's the thing. A lot of people in our age range were like, red and blue are the best ones. Red and blue are where they're at. Red and blue are so broken and janky mechanically that going back to play them, I couldn't even consider it because just the way that like stats are organized, like it's so easy to just steamroll that game with a select few amount of Pokemon. And in this, the Gold and Silver version, initial one, the Game Boy Color, they fixed so much of that. And then the cherry on top of it all, it's that there's two whole regions in this game. Johto, where you start, and Kanto, that you go back and explore in a kind of like, oh, time has passed, what have they been up to? You know, it's a true, like, just as a kid, all I could imagine thinking back is just being like, wow, like, I'm going back to the old games. This is incredible, you know?
Well, you ripped the Band-Aid right off, Tom, because I was going to save that for the end. But let's just talk about it. What a great game where you go ahead, you play through this entire game that is, what, a 50-plus hour long RPG, depending on how much you're going to do inside of it. And then all of a sudden, they give you the entire first game again. It's so awesome.
Well, it's not just doing it all over again. As I said, you know, you're going back and it's been, I think, in canon, like 3 years. So it's not that you're going through it all again. There are noticeable changes and there's cool changes. Like, you know, the notion that the volcano on Cinnabar Island blew up and the only thing left is the Pokemon Center, you know, like because Blaine's gym is at Seafoam Islands now, or just everything. Like, it's not like it's like, wow, time has passed and there's so much to learn about what's been going on in the history of this world. You know, it's really, really cool. You know, Blue's the 8th gym leader over in Kanto now. That's really sick. That was really sick.
One thing I was a little confused about when I originally started this game, because I like talking about the history of, you know, growing up with these two games in general. But one thing I really liked, or was confusing to me, was I thought when they said 100 new Pokemon, I thought it was just going to be the 100 Pokemon. And that was it. But then, like, when you went in and you started catching Pokemon that you've previously seen in the Kanto region, it's like, oh, wait, crap. Wait, so it's like 251 Pokemon in this game? That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you brought that up, the presence of Kanto Pokemon in Johto. So I'm going to talk about some things now. I want to get into Heart Gold and Soul Silver now. So in developing this game, Shigeki Morimoto, the director of these two games, Heart Gold and Soul Silver, he said in a Nintendo press release that they attempted to stay as faithful to the original Gold and Silver as possible to respect the feelings of those who played them, while also trying to upgrade them enough to make them accessible to people who had played the Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS Pokemon titles. So a question I want to keep on our minds throughout this episode, Josh, it's pretty simple. Was staying faithful a good idea? You know, I don't want you to answer it now. I just want to put it out there. Was staying faithful a good idea? So, Josh, where does Heart Gold and Soul Silver start?
You start in New Barktown running errands for Professor Elm. You know, just doing, you know, a couple things, dropping stuff off here, going there, blah, 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 blah. But you are presented once again with the choice of fire, water, or grass, Tom.
What did you go with, Josh?
Tortodile.
Okay, so you went with water. I went with Cyndaquil, the fire type. But I have done playthroughs of this with Chikorita. I personally really like this trio of starters.
Yeah, this is a really good set of them. The only problem I ever have with the Pokemon starters is I always hate their middle stages. Their middle stages are just never fun.
I mean, I like Wartortle and Charmeleon. I'm trying to think what other ones are good.
Why does Wartortle grow hair and then none of the other ones have hair?
Male pattern baldness? I don't know. Because he grows it and then he loses it when he becomes Blastoise. So, you know, it's only a temporary thing. In running those errands for Professor Elm, you are introduced to this game's version of the classic rival trope, Silver, a red-haired young thief who breaks into Professor Elm's lab and steals the type of starter Pokemon that is more advantageous over yours, and decides that he is going to go on a quest to stop Team Rocket from reforming. He seems to have a real grudge against Team Rocket. And Josh, what are Team Rocket up to in Johto?
Team Rocket in this game was actually disbanded from where they were originally because of the 3-year gap. Because with Red taking them down, they pretty much broke up after Red beat the crap out of Giovanni.
I mean, it's pretty demoralizing. It's like, a 10-year-old beat us? Forget this. You know, I'm done.
Yeah, we're out. They were blasting off again.
Mm-hmm.
So word on the street was that they were cutting off tails to Slowpokes. A little dark, don't you think?
It's apparently a delicacy in the Johto region. It's like, you know, eating dolphin, I suppose. But you put a stop to them. That's the first of their evil schemes. But, you know, they're scattered throughout the Johto region. You know, they're making trouble in Ecutrek. They're bothering the Kimono girls. They at one point set up a radio broadcast near the Lake of Rage, near Mahogany Town, that forces Pokemon to evolve. You know, they're causing all kinds of chaos, and their goal, as many of the Rocket admins say in, like, conversations or battles, is they're trying to commit as many crimes as possible to re-inspire their former leader, Giovanni, to come out of hiding and reform Team Rocket, as you said. They're disbanded, but these new members are like, I want to get the band back together, but, you know, where's the lead singer? Where's the lead singer?
Right.
And your quest throughout the region is to, you know, stop them while trying to get all the 8 badges and confront the Elite Four.
So when we talk about some of the changes that did happen with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, The biggest one, I think, is that all 493 Pokemon were actually able to be in the game.
Yes, through trading with Diamond and Pearl and through using the transfer system from the Game Boy Advance games to DS games, because, you know, the DS had both cartridge slots, you could ultimately get all 493.
Which, one thing I want to give a shout out to, I think this is the game that stopped it. This was the last game where you could take a Pokemon from the Game Boy Pokemon all the way up to the end. You could go from the Game Boy to Gold and Silver to Ruby and Sapphire to Diamond and Pearl, and then to Heart Gold and Soul Silver, or to Fire Red and Leaf Green to Heart Gold and Soul Silver, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm sorry to inform you that you are mistaken. You could you could transfer Pokemon from this up to Black and White, and then through the use of the Pokemon Bank, which no longer exists, you could take them into X and Y.
Okay, so you could take a Pokemon from the Game Boy all the way up to X and Y.
Did you say from the Game Boy original cartridge up to the DS?
Yes, yes.
So, no, that was actually never possible. Ruby and Sapphire and Fire Red and Leaf Green enabled you to get everything from Generations 1 to 3.
No, no. What I'm saying, though, you could take a Pokemon from the Game Boy.
Yeah.
And then transfer that one over to Gold and Silver on the Game Boy Color, and then transfer that over to Ruby and Sapphire Game Boy Advance.
You could not. There was no Game Boy Color to Game Boy Advance transfer systems.
Oh, really?
There was not.
Okay. Oh, my bad. I thought, oh, okay.
No, it's all good. I just wanted to make sure I understood, because for a second I was like, wait a minute, whoa. But no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. I'm sorry. I'm wrong, everyone.
No. It's not about being wrong. It's about being the very best. Like, no one ever was, you know? It would have been cool. That would have been cool if there was a way to kind of keep your little friends generation after generation. Mm-hmm.
There was so much, though, like I was saying, in this game, that not only were you able to get all 493 Pokemon into the game, but there were so many other things included in the game, too, where there were certain events where, like, Cynthia made an appearance involving Arceus in the game. This is all, of course, in post-game stuff, but if you perform this one thing that happened during her time inside the ruins, you could actually obtain a Dialga, Palkia, or Giratina at level 1. And I thought that was great. You know, headbutting trees to get certain Pokemon. Oh man, there's so much in this game. And that's I'm coming out and saying it. That's why I love this game, because it's the game that just keeps giving.
Well, the game gives, but a problem that I found with it in this replay, and it's probably the first time I really noticed it, is, again, I want to go back to that question, is, was staying faithful a good idea? We're talking about the new Pokemon introduced in Generation 2, and how this game let you catch everything up to that point. But a problem that I really discovered in this gameplay session is that this is, in the context of Gold and Silver, this is a brand new region, a brand new swath of Pokemon, but it's very improperly balanced towards, like, Kanto Pokemon for a huge chunk of the game. So when I started playing this, I did a little, like, kind of, like, test for myself. I decided that I was not going to catch or use anything that you could find in Kanto. My goal was 100% only catch Johto originals, okay?
Okay.
When I got to the Elite Four, how many Pokemon did I have in my Pokedex?
Of the 100?
Just of, like, what was my Pokedex number, do you think?
Probably, like, 111.
21.
21?
21. I didn't catch every Johto exclusive in Johto. I'm just talking about, you know, when I beat the Johto Elite Four before I went to Kanto. It was 21. It was a very low amount. Because, you know, from the very beginning, there's just such a huge amount of Kanto Pokemon on every route in every area, and trainers. Trainers are all using Raticates, Pidgeys, Koffings, Ekans. There's not a fair balance of, you know, Hoots and Mareeps and Lanterns and Quagsires and everything else, you know? It's all Kanto stuff. And I'm not bashing Kanto. I'm just saying, don't take me to Johto and show me the same stuff I've already seen. And just personally, I found it very frustrating. You know, even halfway through this game, something that the Heart Gold and Soul Silver adds that the original didn't have is a Safari Zone. You go into the Safari Zone, there are no Johto Pokemon until after you beat the Elite Four. Like, there are specific conditions that can't be met until after you've beaten half of the game. And some of even the coolest Johto Pokemon, like Houndoom, the little fire dog, little devil dog, he's in Kanto. Like, he's all the way across the map. You can't even get to him, you know? So that's how it was in the original. And in this remake, they decided to keep it that way. And personally, I think that was a bad decision. You're not getting to check out all these cool new mons. You know, you're doing most of the game with Kanto Pokemon again. And it's like,
I wonder if that's the case. If you go back to the original Gold and Silver,
it pretty much is, because I was using Bulbapedia in my playthrough to kind of see what was available on certain routes. You know, I was like, okay, I'm on this route. Let me check what's here. And they give you, you know, they give you what the map was in Generation 2 and what is in Generation 4. And it's virtually the same, you know? It's like 70% Kanto, 30% Johto throughout.
Okay.
So, bad balancing, in my opinion.
I personally think, though, like you said, is staying faithful a bad thing, right? What would you want them to do on a remake, though? They remade this game. They changed everything up. They added so much to it, you know, and especially, you know, even looking at Heart Gold and Soul Silver is what we're talking about today. The amount of stuff that they added in post-game content, right? They kept the core style to the original game there, but they gave you so much post-game content and ways for you to incorporate and go and explore and find new things in the game that correlates to the other three generations.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
I agree, but the emphasis you're putting there is post-game. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get through 16 gyms and the Elite Four twice to get to a lot of that sexy stuff. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of cool stuff. The one thing that hasn't been mentioned yet is not only can you fight Red, not only can you encounter Cynthia, you can do the Celebi side quest that previously was like a promo event in Gold and Silver that was like locked behind, like you had to get a promo code in a Nintendo event. In here, it's an in-game piece of post-game story. Replaying this made me realize that the initial journey is a very cool region where you're not really getting to explore that many new Pokemon. And then another thing I didn't get to mention, but I'll bring it up, is the EXP kind of experience leveling spread of this game. This game has a very specific kind of median leveling out ratio for the entire game because, you know, you can't level up your Pokemon too fast. So there's many regions where the EXP yield you get from victories is very low, and every trainer and every wild Pokemon usually stick around the same very low levels. So even if you grind your ass off and get your team like up to the point where they're 10 levels above what you're going to find in the wild, you're still getting very low experience paid out for battle. So it's a lot more grindy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the adventure like a little bit artificially longer, I'm going to say.
And I will say, yeah, I thought there was a little bit more grind in this than I remembered. And it could be, you know, because back in the day as a kid, or actually, I wouldn't even say as a kid because this was 2009. So as an adult, it didn't seem as long to me to go through and play through that because it was just like, oh, I'm just doing this to build my guys up. You know what I mean? It, you know, coming out of so many other games or just moving Pokemon over from another game, like it didn't seem like it was that much of a struggle. But this time, yeah, I noticed that. I want to go back and I want to kind of challenge this a little bit, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Pokemon Gold and Silver came out in 1999.
Yep.
10 years later, Heart Gold and Soul Silver came out. Heart Gold and Soul Silver are now being released to a generation of people who cannot probably get a Game Boy Color, who probably weren't even alive when the original one came out. So is it terrible? Is it bad for them to do almost a spitting remake of the original part of the game for a generation who didn't have it?
I'm going to say yeah, because in a way it's ignorant to the progress that the rest of the series has made in improving its pacing and all that, you know? I'm not saying these are like pieces of shit. I'm just saying that like the faithfulness left intact, just some things that pad out the game and, you know, don't let you get to experience everything. Unless like you get to, as I said, like a lot of the cool Pokemon for this generation, they're over in Kanto for some reason, and you can't get to them until you beat the Johto region. But beating the Johto region can be a bit of a slog because of leveling. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's taking you longer to get to a lot of the real meat of where these cool new Pokemon are. And in an era in 2009 where, I personally don't remember Diamond, Pearl, or Platinum having those kind of pacing issues. You know, I thought those games were structured very well from what I can recall.
Well, we will find out very soon.
No, we will. We will, yeah. So, like, but to answer your question, is it bad that it stuck so closely to the version of games that most people wouldn't have been able to experience? I kind of do, because it's not looking forward. It's not, like, if you look just a generation back at Fire Red and Leaf Green, that remade or remastered or whatever we wanted to define it as, Red and Blue, but improved it with all of the new mechanics of that era. You had the running shoes, you had the new type balance, you had like everything that made quality of life and pacing that much better, and then you had the post game content added on, but like it was a better balance, because like the faster gameplay mechanics and quality of life, it made the trip through Kanto in Fire Red and Leaf Green a little quicker, but the Sevii Islands, you know, the post game were meaty enough that you didn't run out of the game too quickly. Whereas in this, it's still just as deliberately paced, which in this case deliberately means slow, as the originals were. And I don't think that's always to its benefit, just personally.
I don't know. I feel like I would disagree, though, on that, because in 2009, being an 8-year-old kid or whatnot, getting to experience this for the first time, I think I would be in wow. I remember as a 20-year-old, I was in wow when I was playing this game, because it was taking me back to that childhood aspect. Playing it in 2021, I still had a lot of fun with it, but it was really hard to have that same level of enthusiasm knowing what is out there now to be able to play. And that's a little hard. It's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. No, I agree. By 2021 standards, I think it holds up even less, because like now going back to some of the awkward menu navigation, going back to TMs being single use only, as we said, the slow EXP yield, the fact that I can't get access to new Pokemon. Like, these are things now. Like 2009, maybe it was one thing. 2021. These are a lot of things where I'm like, I don't know. You know, like these are real eyesores in comparison.
But overall, I mean, the legacy of Heart Gold, Soul Silver, right? To this day, though, Heart Gold, Soul Silver are up there as one of being the most critically acclaimed remakes of video games ever. Sitting with an 87% on Metacritic, received numerous 9s out of 10s, and, you know, so on. Nintendo Power gave it a 9.5 out of 10. Like, there's so much. I really do like this game. I like the world that they're in. I like all the changes that they did. And you can see how this was the start to making Pokemon a deeper experience than what we had when we were in Kanto. You can see the way that they're making this a little bit more fleshed out and a more realistic version of a JRPG. Where it wasn't just, oh, Pokemon is a kid's game, right? They added more, you know, when it came to changing up your stats a little bit more to be able to, you know, talk about different techniques of this person. When they came out, there was sand on the ground or sand in the air. You know what I mean? Like, there was different buffs and stuff like that happening. And I like that they added a little bit more of a realistic approach to a JRPG to this game, rather than just a, like I said originally at the start of this, rock, paper, scissors match.
Well, I mean, the original Gold and Silver did a lot of those things, but Heart Gold and Soul Silver don't do as many. They're like, Heart Gold and Soul Silver are not the originators of many of the perks that you just described. Like, some of those things happen in Gold and Silver. Some of those things were introduced in Omega Ruby. I keep calling it Omega Ruby, but Ruby Sapphire, you know, Diamond and Pearl. This is just carrying them through into a region that a lot of people love. And I'll still say it, even after playing this, I think Johto is the coolest region within the entire Pokemon universe. I think the diversity of the locations and just kind of like the aesthetics of each town, really charming. It's a delight to explore. Fantastic soundtrack, fantastic locations that all kind of like work in their own way, you know? Truly, truly cool. Pound for pound, Johto might be one of my favorite generations. Also not gonna lie, in terms of all the Mons in it. Some of my favorite ones come from this generation. You've got Umbreon, you've got Scizor, you've got Typhlosion, you got Togepi. You know, there's so many good Pokemon that came out of this one. But I just think its reputation was earned at the time. But I think in the face of where the Pokemon franchise has gone mechanically and where other remakes like Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire have gone, I think this is left a little wanting in 2021. I still enjoyed it, but its rough edges were a little harder for me to ignore this time.
In 2021, right, like Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I think, are the best when it comes to everything. When you look at a cornucopia of Pokemon games, I think Heart Gold, Soul Silver is really, if you wanted like a great complete experience, this is a great one to go with. However, my favorite one is not these. My favorite one, of course, is Pokemon Platinum. I think Pokemon Platinum is a masterpiece in Pokemon game, in Pokemon lore, in the Pokemon in general. I think Diamond, Platinum, and Pearl have the best Pokemon, hands down, if any region. And I will die on that hill if I need to. But let's just go to it. Skip, play, complete, or master.
In 2021, it's almost sad to say you don't need to play this. You don't need to play Heart Gold and Soul Silver because you can, on average, probably get every Pokemon you need from this game through multiple other methods to bring them up to like Sword and Shield. You know, like if we're talking play, what are you playing it for?
Well, that's mastering. Race, yeah,
catch them all. You can catch most of these. I guess the question is, for me, what all boils down to is the story of Heart Gold and Soul Silver good enough to justify a complete? And I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say you play this. Damn it. I hate being this hard on it because I do like this game a lot.
Well,
but like,
so
play it.
So this is, I would say this is going to be my question for you then, right? Because I wanted to piggyback off of this one. If you're not going to play it for the story, what are you playing it for then?
I feel like we've worn this out, but in 2021, yeah, what are you playing this for?
I think the story to this game is great.
I mean, the story is really just you stop Team Rocket, and then after, like, there's not that much going on in the plot besides stopping Team Rocket. There's no other real mystery or dangers. It's just the same kind of bare bones adventures. Like,
I think it's great to see though how your actions in the first game changed things in this world. Even though you're not the same character, you're playing from a different perspective now. But, you know, there's that 3-year gap, but you get to see what, you know, what you did in Red and Blue, or Fire Red and Leaf Green, or hey, let's go Pikachu and let's go Eevee. but you get to see that, and it's really uncommon in a lot of games to see your actions from a previous game have consequences in the world.
I understand, but at the same time, like, that, again, that's not a story. That's like a sightseeing tour. Like, the only real kind of, like, plot in this game is the main character stops Team Rocket. And then from there, they just go and beat, like, this little, like, side stories. Like, you help cure the Ampharos in the lighthouse. But, like, there's nothing arc-wise. Like, Sun and Moon has the story of your character is establishing the country of Alola's first ever Pokemon League. You know, that's the story of that game. Platinum, you know, like, the story of that game is your trainer gets caught up in Team Galactic's plot to literally destroy the universe, and you have to help stop them, you know? Sword and Shield, they're not great stories, but it's like, you know, you're the next door neighbor of the champion of the region, and you get involved with his family in their attempt to stop, like, the end of the world. In this, it's like, you stop a local crime ring.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, there's a lot to like in this game. I would say to play it, to try out a lot of the mechanics, you know, like, go do the bug catching contest, go do the Pokemon contests, you know, do the Battle Frontier.
What about the beauty contest, Tom?
Beauty contests, exactly. There you go. So that's something to do. There's stuff to do in this game, but, like, if you're playing this to be a Pokemon Master IRL, you could probably get around this. But if you want to be a Pokemon completionist, you should play this, I would say. What about you, Josh? What about you?
I say to beat the story, so complete it. That's what I would say. I think the story is fun. I think the world is great. I think exploring all of the towns is fascinating and seeing the unique differences between all of them. Being able to go back and then revisit Misty and Brock and Lieutenant Surge and all of those guys over in Kanto, I think that's awesome too. Being able to see our boy Professor Oak. I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia in this game. And if you want a great Pokemon game, play Pokemon Diamond, Platinum, and Pearl. But if you want a game that's almost as good as those, play HeartGold and SoulSilver.
All right. Well, if you have any strong opinions about which version of Pokemon is actually the definitive version, let us know in the comments wherever you are listening. And, you know, maybe at some point we'll... Oh, you have something else, Josh?
Yeah, I do have something else. And can we agree that SoulSilver had the best Pokemon in it? Like, of the two versions.
What, Lugia?
Well, I mean, hold on. We got Vulpix and Ninetales. We got Kabuto and Kabutops.
Kanto Pokemon. We got Delibird.
We got Delibird.
Okay, you finally said a Johto Pokemon.
Yes. Mawile? Groudon?
Mawile, wait, Delibird, hang on a minute. Mawile is from Ruby and Sapphire, I'm pretty sure.
But I'm just talking about the exclusives to SoulSilver. What did you guys get? Donphan, great. Gilgar, great.
Gligar, and also, hey, at least, but here's the thing, you're proving my point in a way, though. Like, you went through that whole list, and only one of those is actually a Johto exclusive Pokemon. Delibird, that's it.
Delibird, Teddy Ursa.
All right, so you said another one, but I had to nudge you. That was introduced to Generation 2.
But until next time, this has been Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And we will battle you in the future.
While we boot up the Triflex capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. This show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, and future of gaming, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun, so come chat with us anytime.
Thanks again for listening.
And we'll see you in the future.